Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. I'm really excited to speak to my guest today, Gemma Broadstock, about her own self-employed business journey, where she began as a virtual assistant and then transitioned into the role of an online business manager and strategist, which then led her on to her second venture as a business mentor. I think that missing that one go-to person and not having someone to turn to for business advice can be a real challenge for lots of small business owners like us. So it's a great topic to chat about and see how you might want to explore tapping into a business mentor to share your business challenges. Ultimately, our goal is always about making you feel less stressed and therefore free to earn much more money. I know that sounds like a dream. So with that in mind, let me welcome my guest. Thanks for joining me today, Gemma. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here, honestly. I'm so excited to chat to you. I feel like we haven't spoken in I don't even know how long, a few months. So it's always nice to catch up for a while, isn't it?
I know. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining me today, Gemma. I'm glad you're well. I would love you to share with our listeners your own squiggly journey into becoming self-employed. So did you go to uni straight after school or did you begin in a job or what? How did it begin?
So I went to uni to study psychology. So I did my degree and my master's in psychology. I thought that I wanted to In fact, I had no idea what I thought I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to help people. So I figured that was the best route to go down. But I didn't ever really have a clear idea of where I was going. So I knew that there were certain, you know, I could work as a clinical psychologist or an educational psychologist. None of those felt right. So I think the only reason I went down the psychology route was because that felt like the closest thing to what I wanted to do. And I hoped that I would figure out the rest when I got there, I think.
So you didn't grow up with a burning ambition to become self-employed or think about working for yourself. It just sort of fell into your lap later on once you'd done your degree.
Yeah. So when I look back in hindsight, I do think I was quite entrepreneurial always, but I don't think I realized that. So for example, when I was 16, I'd had my first job for a few weeks. It was horrible. I hated it. I left. And I started making and selling things. So I literally got cushions from around the house, cut them up, made them into bunting, sold them in a local Facebook group. And now I can see that that was the business owner in me starting to come out. But at the time, I didn't see that. I just thought I was trying to make money however I could. So I think it's always been there. But it didn't ever click that that could be how I earned money, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's a real trait of a lot of people that end up working for themselves. They look back and in hindsight, they see all of those little jigsaw pieces where they were a little bit different or they were a leader or they were doing sort of selling in the playground or anything like that as they were growing up. But it isn't until later on that they actually realize it's inside them and it wants to be their driver, I suppose. So I know you started off as a VA, as a virtual assistant, and then you moved into something called an OBM, an online business manager. Could you just explain what that is? Because I know for a lot of people, what the heck's an OBM? They won't know what that is.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was either. So an online business manager is somebody who manages your business online. It really is as simple as that. It's quite often the step up from a virtual assistant. So when you're a virtual assistant, you have a client who is the business owner and you support them with various different tasks. So that could be social media or it could be emailing. It can be any number of things, but you are the assistant. So the business owner is still very much in charge and you do kind of what they want you to do. the OBM is kind of the step up from that, which happens quite naturally, I think, for a lot of virtual assistants. And that's definitely how it happened for me, where you know the person's business really well, and you kind of don't need to be an assistant anymore because you could do it yourself. So rather than the business owner telling you what emails to go out, you actually manage all of the email marketing and you write the emails, and they might perhaps have a look, but they very much trust you to manage the whole thing. So it's kind of a step up from a virtual assistant, a lot more responsibility. And in my experience and in a lot of my clients' experience, it's something that people start doing almost by accident. They start off as an assistant, and then over time they get to know the business owner, they get to know the business, they start taking on more responsibility, there's less approvals from the client. And then they suddenly realize, oh, hang on a minute, I'm actually managing this rather than assisting. And that's normally the point where people realize, oh, that also comes with a higher rate, actually, and I should be charging more.
So does that enable the business owner to sort of take a step back? Do they have sort of almost like a business manager to be able to make business decisions in? And or does the OBM make a lot of decisions for that business owner on their behalf because they know the business so well? Or how's the level of responsibility?
It definitely varies. I had a mix of clients. Some of them still wanted to oversee everything, and it was a bit more like a partnership. So we would get together and we would map things out jointly, and they would very much respect that I had my own ideas and ways of doing things. And so it just was a very kind of 50-50 sort of relationship. There were some clients I had who just fully trusted me to manage like their team, for example. And in that case, I would just manage everything from holidays to sickness, everything. And I wouldn't necessarily need to speak to the business owner unless it was something that I just couldn't handle from a distance. So if they needed to do an actual meeting with a staff member, for example, and they would handle that instead. So it's very flexible, honestly, depending on what each business owner wants.
And is it an employed role or a self-employed role? How did you work when you were an OBM?
Self-employed. Okay. So it was always self-employed, and I would have multiple clients at once.
Okay, so you would only be working part-time for any one client. You wouldn't be singularly employed or self-employed just with one client as a contract.
Yeah, I think that was partly personal preference because I loved working with multiple different people. And that's just, I mean, it's still how I work now. You definitely could be an OBM for one or two clients if that's what you preferred. But for me, I just loved the variety. So that was how I preferred to work.
So for anyone listening now, if they were thinking of taking an OBM, they don't have to take them full time. They could literally have somebody as an OBM part time to be able to support them in their business, to sort of share that strategy, brain dumping, all of those things, and then sort of delivery of tasks and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can start really small as well. Some OBMs might have a minimum that you have to book them for, but there are also a lot that don't. So it could just be a couple of hours a week.
Okay, so it's a step up from what we call a virtual assistant to be able to take on somebody. And does your business have to be online, or could you be a bricks and mortar business and still have an online business manager?
Yeah, absolutely. As long as there is an element of your business that can be managed online, then it would work. So you could be a cafe, for example, but if you wanted an OBM to handle your marketing, and perhaps overseeing things like your staff holidays and things like that, they could absolutely still do that from a distance.
A lot of our listeners are just self-employed singularly. So would there be a need for an OBM for a single self-employed business owner? Would they have a need for an OBM, do you think?
I would say yes. As a business ower, it's a lot. It's a lot to think about.
Yes.
There's always more to do. And it always feels a little bit like you wish you could clone yourself. And you need like 10 versions of you, and there's never enough time in the day, and all of those things. And I think what an OBM does is not only does it bring you someone who you can brainstorm with and actually share those ideas that you might not ever say out loud to anybody else, but also it allows you to give some responsibilities over that you know are going to be done to a high standard. When it's an assistant that you're hiring, and VAs are great, I spent years being a VA and I've had VAs myself, they're amazing, but there's still quite a high level of looking at the work and watching what they're doing and maybe training them. An OBM will come on board and they might be able to just handle things for you. There might be no training that you need to do. There's very little check-ins that you need to have with them. You might not have to oversee the work at all. And it just really allows you to trust that parts of the business are being totally handled by someone who knows what they're doing, and you can focus on whatever it is that you want to focus on.
So it's a really nice way of sharing that responsibility, because it can be quite lonely as a self-employed business owner. I know that myself. And so to have that sort of partner in crime to be able to sort of drive your business forwards, that's got ideas and some their own thoughts on things and their own sort of skill set, that can often be a really nice complement then for a lot of business owners, particularly if they don't have to employ them, and also if they could take them just for a relative number of hours every week or month. So it didn't need to be like a full-time commitment and responsibility as well, I suppose.
Yeah, 100%. And also a lot of OBMs, they will have worked with other clients. So you might be thinking, I'm really stuck on how to use social media for my business, and I just don't have the time. It feels very overwhelming. But someone who is an OBM might come on board and say, well, actually, I've got three other clients who have been in that position, so I know exactly what to do. So it's also the experience that they bring as well.
And where do people find OBMs? Where do they go to look for an online business manager?
So Facebook groups are probably a good idea. So Facebook groups for online business owners. There might be Facebook groups specifically for OBMs and service providers. You might want to find an OBM on Instagram. Even if they can't support you themselves, they probably have a network of other OBMs. So I would definitely ask around and ask for referrals if you can.
That's probably quite a new idea to a lot of people. So what I was thinking then, you then moved into becoming a business strategist, and now in your role that you're currently working in, you've become a business mentor, which is really interesting for me, because again, when you're solo and self-employed and working on your own, to actually be able to tap into somebody and have that sort of go-to person, that can often seem very attractive when you seem caught in the weeds and you're not quite sure about how to move things forward. So how did you firstly move into, it sounds like you've moved from a virtual assistant into an OBM and then a business strategist, and now you found your place as a business mentor. It's a natural sort of career path and progression in your own self-employed journey. So what's the difference now being a business mentor, and how does that work for you, Gemma?
So the biggest difference is that I don't do the work for anyone. As an OBM and a VA, you go and do the work on someone else's behalf. Now I support business owners as they do the work themselves. In some ways, it's very similar. I still work with lots of businesses at once. I still get to connect with lots of businesses. I still get to support people to grow their business. So I would say, although the way that I deliver that has changed, my actual goal and what I'm trying to achieve and how I'm trying to impact people has stayed the same. It's still that I'm trying to support business owners to grow and scale their business, just in a slightly different way. And it was definitely a natural progression for me. It was something I was offering before I realized I was offering it. People were coming to me for advice. They were asking me how I had grown my business so quickly. They were asking how I signed clients so easily. It was just very like naturally progressed into me supporting other people. And then I needed to start monetizing it, because I was spending more time advising people for free than I was spending doing the actual work. And I was like, okay, something needs to change. And it started with me working as a mentor specifically for VAs, because that felt most comfortable for me. It was where I had all my experience. But what I realized over time was that the advice I was giving to VAs was the exact same advice that any online business owner who was mostly online was needing as well. So it was very natural, but it definitely took a while for me to get there and figure out what my thing was, I think.
So is it like an advisory role or a consultant role? Do you give your opinion, or do you give the sort of strategy and the steps and to advise them how to implement what their goal is, etc.? Or how do you actually work as yourself as a business mentor?
So typically how it works is I get on a call with someone and they will brain dump everything that's in their head, every fear they've got, every worry, everything that's not working, everything that they're dreaming of but don't want to say out loud. Basically everything they share with me. And it's a really nice moment, because it feels like I'm getting in their brain and I suddenly understand why they think and feel the way that they do. And then from there, we will set some goals. So depending on how long we're working together, whether it's, you know, 6 weeks or 6 months, we will look at, okay, what do you want to do in those 6 months? Like, what kind of life do you want to have? How do you want to feel? What do you want to achieve? Who do you want to be working with? And then we look at, how do we get you from where you are right now to where you want to be? So some of that will be strategy. It might be things like a marketing strategy, or looking at a new way of signing clients. It might be that you're just feeling really unaligned with how things are at the moment and you want to offer a slightly different service, or maybe you want to hire somebody for the first time. and I will support you through that. But also a lot of it is the mindset stuff as well. It's, oh my gosh, this feels really overwhelming and I just need to talk it through with someone. And what I find is that very, very quickly, my clients have these breakthroughs, because what I say is that you always have the answers. It's not that you have to come to me because you don't have a clue what you're doing and I know everything. That's not how it is. You already know yourself better than anyone. You know your business and your client better than anyone. But when you're so deep in it and there are so many things to think about and so many things to do, you just can't see clearly where you start or where to begin or what you want to do. It's like someone said to me yesterday, it's like I connected the dots for them. And that's kind of how I see it. Like, you have all the jigsaw pieces, but you can't see how they fit together. And you just need some support as you put it together.
I think that's one of the things that when I was making Pocket PA, I felt like I was also doing that. I was joining up the dots in all the different aspects of people's businesses, because we all, as a business owner, there are so many sort of jigsaw pieces. And it isn't just when someone hands you £50 or £100. It begins literally when the client calls and you pick up the phone and it becomes a new client. And then you have to match them with a service or create an appointment. And so there's so many things that you have to do in your business day to day. And, you know, nobody starts a new business to do more business admin or to become more stressed or whatever. It's about that time that they spend with their clients and what they can give their clients and how that makes them feel. But at the end of the day, all these business admin, these sort of unpaid parts and elements of their business where they've got to work sort of on their business instead of in their business, all these dots just need joining up, because at the end of the day, you've got to submit your tax return, because you've got, if you aren't doing that, then you're not a legitimate business. So I love the way that you've explained that, because that really fits for how I was also working. It is helping people to join up the dots so that they can see everything as a joined up picture is just a really rewarding thing. And I really resonate with that. But I think the other thing is, you probably have a similar thought process. You can show people everything, but if they don't take the action, nothing will actually come to fruition. Is that a challenge for you, or how do you get around, you know, putting steps in place to ensure that people take that step and, you know, step into where they're wanting to go? Because nothing's any good without action.
It's definitely something that I used to struggle with, because quite naturally, I want to help everyone. I want to help everyone as much as I possibly can. But what that meant was I was sometimes signing clients who needed help. They weren't where they wanted to be, but they weren't ready. They weren't ready to do the work. And I carried a lot of that weight with me because I felt responsible for everyone else's results. And what I had to realize was I can't make anyone do anything. I can be there and I can support you and I can check in with you and I can advise you and give you feedback and all of those things. But if you don't do anything with it, there's nothing more that I can do. So I think part of it was me getting really clear on who do I want to work with. And that person, they don't have to have tons of experience. They don't have to have loads of clarity, but they have to have that motivation. They have to be ready to take some action, because I can be there, but I can't force anyone to do the thing.
So you're filtering your clients to ensure that you have the best fit, because clearly none of us want to take on clients if they're not going to feel the value of what you have to offer. And it's such a frustrating sort of experience when you've delivered everything and you can see the whole plan and yet they just don't step into it and take that action. And it's similar, you know, people can register a Pocket PA account, but if they don't add that first client, they don't add that service, it isn't going to do it for you. And you do have to be motivated enough to think, you know what, I'm going to take charge. But I think those are the sort of people that are self-employed, and those are the ones that rise to the top, the cream that will become successful regardless, because they will always take that action. But that's not to say the people that are nervous about taking action can't be encouraged, and, you know, there are baby steps. And I'm a huge believer in not getting overwhelmed with things and breaking things down, making things small, making them manageable, exciting, fun, enjoyable, because we all need those aspects in order for us to take action. So how do you break things down for your clients when you're sort of working with them as a mentor?
This is definitely one of the things that comes up. It's, oh my gosh, there's just so much. Like, where do we start? How do we achieve anything in this amount of time? It feels like there's so much. So what I try to do is, based on that initial brain dump and anything that came out, usually there will be a few key areas that they want to work on or need to work on. They might not have fully identified it themselves. They might feel like 100 different things, but quite often it's just one thing with like lots of subtopics. So just by working on one of them, all of the other things start clicking into place. So I always say we have three goals during our time working together. And as long as we're moving towards those three goals that feel good for them, you're making progress. Like, don't be too hard on yourself if it doesn't feel like you're making £1 million in 2 seconds. Like, I think being on Instagram can feel a little bit like everyone else is running 100 miles an hour and you're constantly criticizing yourself for not moving enough. So I think the biggest thing about having a mentor, though, is that you get someone to have those conversations with. So when it does feel overwhelming, rather than sitting in that overwhelm and spiraling, which is what tends to happen, you have someone to pick up the phone and be like, oh my gosh, I'm spiraling. And then you can have that conversation where you kind of stop that person from getting any further. You talk things out. And quite often, in my experience, at least after that first initial maybe week of working together, a lot of that overwhelm disappears because they start to see that already just by having the support, they're taking action and they've done more in that week than they have in maybe the last few months combined. So I think it's just that initial stage, which is very normal. It's very normal to have that fear of there is so much to do. Where do I start? It's so big. And I think we all feel like that sometimes whenever there is a new thing in business. You know, there's always more to deal with and more to overcome. But I think as long as you know you've got that support, it's just huge because you know that you're never going to be alone. And I think that's the biggest thing in mentoring.
And the mindset aspect as well is such a big part because, you know, mind over matter, we've all heard our mum say that. But mindset is it can be a real game changer for whether you actually break through and can achieve things or not. Self-esteem, self-confidence, you know, comparisonitis, you know, a lot of small business owners compare their business and their journey to where other people are who might have been in the industry for an awful lot longer, have a different background and things. So how do you deal with the comparisonitis and people having those blocks in their mindset when they're trying to grow their business?
It's definitely a difficult one. And quite often it's not one that you can fix overnight. A lot of the time we've had these beliefs for, you know, 10, 20, 30 plus years. So I think to expect that overnight you can just never compare yourself again is a big thing to expect of yourself.
It's unrealistic, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is I always tell to my clients, go a layer deeper. So sometimes they might say things like, I'm comparing myself to everyone on Instagram. And they think that that is the big problem. But I would say go a layer deeper than that. Why are you comparing yourself to people on Instagram? What are you comparing yourself to? Firstly, because there's usually an underlying thing that is deeper that they didn't realize. It's a bit like, you know, if you were cooking the dinner and you snapped at the kids and then you cried, someone might say, oh, she's crying because she burnt the dinner, for example. It's not that you're crying because you burnt the dinner. There's something else. And the dinner was like the icing on the cake. So I'm always trying to look at what's the layer below that so that we can get to the deeper problem. Because I think if you're always trying to deal with surface level problems, it's not going to go because you're not working on the deeper problem. The other thing is I always try and reframe those beliefs and see what we can take from them in a positive way. So for example, if you are comparing yourself to people on Instagram, it's not very nice. It's not going to feel enjoyable. But can you figure out why you're comparing yourself to that person specifically? Because what it might do, for example, is highlight that they have something that you want. And that's really useful because a lot of the time, if you say to people, what do you want? They'll say, I don't know. But if I say, well, who do you compare yourself to? They'll have a long list. So you can actually use it to be beneficial. And I think that the third thing is just remembering that it's normal. So I've been in business for what feels like forever. And I work on this stuff every day myself. I do a lot of self-development. I obviously spent years studying psychology. I work on my clients with this every day. And I still compare myself. Like, it's just normal and it never goes away.
It is normal, isn't it? I think that's so true. And I love it that you've got a background as well in psychology and I always say where you begin is never where you end up, but we can draw so many things from our experience and our journey that help us and support us as we move forwards in our self-employment. What were some of the things, can you remember back when you first became self-employed? What were some of the things that you worried about when you got started that you look back now and think, oh my goodness, look at what I used to worry about?
Oh my gosh, everything. I'm such an overthinker, such a worrier anyway. So I would think about everything. I think the biggest one for me was probably the desire to be liked. I'm a very quiet person in normal life. I don't have like massive groups of friends. I'm a bit of an introvert. I don't ever want to upset anybody. So I've always been that person. And then suddenly I was working with lots of clients. Some of them were very different personalities to me that I found quite difficult. sometimes they would have conflicts and I would have to deal with that. And it was just this overwhelming feeling that everyone hated me. And if I were to implement boundaries, or if I were to let go of a client, or if I were to increase my rates, or just do any of those things that are very normal things that you have to do, I just really believed that other people wouldn't like me and that that would be the end of the world. And I think that was so heavy for such a long time.
And how did you move past that to realize that you weren't going to be defined by, you didn't need people's approval, people didn't need to like you, you didn't need to be a people pleaser? What did you do to unlock that, Gemma?
So part of it was doing the thing that scared me anyway and seeing that nothing bad happened and I could handle it. So proving myself wrong. And I think the other thing was that the more time I spent in the world of business, the more people I met that were positive and supportive and lovely. And it made me see that not everyone is going to hate you for implementing your boundaries or for increasing your prices. And actually, the people that do are probably not the people you want to be liked by anyway. So it was a combination of both of those things. I will say that it's still there to an extent. Sometimes I will put out an Instagram post that I feel is a bit risky and I have to like throw my phone away for a few hours in case everyone's sending me hate messages.
And no one does.
Yeah. No, I've had one. I've had one in my whole journey and that was it.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I think we have this this perception that we have to please everyone, that everyone has to like us, and that we need to be vanilla, when in fact we want to filter our clients, we want to filter the people that are going to take action, the people that are going to work best with us. And we have to do that by showing a little bit of our personality and making sure that our uniqueness shines through and we attract energy that's similar to us. That's so interesting. Gemma, thank you so much. There's been so many nuggets that you've shared with us today. If our listeners would like to find out more about you and to connect, where's the best place for them to find you?
Best place is Instagram, at Virtually Done. I'm on Instagram all of the time. So if you want to DM me, message me, just say hi. Like, I'm always open for a conversation. Come over to Instagram and do that. You can also go on my website, virtuallydone.co. And I have a podcast called The Virtually Done Podcast. So you can find me in all those places as well.
That's great. I'm going to put all of that into the show notes. So thank you. So that's the end of another episode. I look forward to having you join me next week for another topic around self-employment. Have a fabulous day and week ahead, whatever it is you're doing, and we'll catch up again soon. Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.